إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Then to continue with Al-Aqeed al-Tahawiyya, the creed compiled by Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. Then last week we had point number 210, وَلَا نُصَدِّقُ كَاهِنًا وَلَا عَرَّافًا, and we do not accept as true the saying of a soothsayer, a kahin, or a fortune teller, or a arraf, a diviner. And we had the small point, وَلَا مَنْ يَدَّعِي شَيْئًا يُخَالِفُ الْكِتَابَ وَالسُنَّةَ وَإِجْمَاعَ الْأُمَّةِ, nor anyone who claims anything which goes against the book, the sunnah, and the consensus, ijma' of the ummah. Who can remember then, what was the definition of a kahin? One of those we do not accept the word of, we don't believe his word, the kahin. Who can remember the definition of a kahin? One who claims knowledge of the hidden and the unseen, and to attain that using the jinn, the devils of the jinn, the unbelieving jinn, the shayateen. And who can remember the definition of the arraf, the diviner? Yeah, somebody also claims knowledge of the hidden and the unseen, but using guesswork and certain signs that he tries to make, and the like, guesswork and the like, not using jinn, shayateen. So they both claim the same thing, they both claim ilmul ghayb, knowledge of the hidden and the unseen, and to be able to predict things that are going to occur in the future, but they differ in the way in which they claim that they acquire that, in which they try and acquire that. Then the first, the kahin, by use of the jinn, the unbelieving jinn, the shayateen. And the second, the arraf, by means of signs and guesswork and the like. Then this chapter followed a chapter with regard to karamat, these miracles which occur at the hand of righteous people. Then do we count the supernatural things that can be seen from a kahin, a soothsayer, and the things that can be seen from an arraf, do we count these things as karamat or not? Are they counted as a kind of karamat? No, they're not. What are they then? Yeah, they're just workings of devils. They're not a sign of a karama. They're just workings of the devils. And as we had, because a karama is something, is a miracle which Allah causes to occur. Allah is the one who causes it to occur at the hand of a righteous servant, a righteous beloved servant to Allah, a wali. Allah causes things to happen upon it, miraculous events to happen at his hand. So we look to the person's deeds, as we had. We look to the person's deeds. If he's a person of righteousness, upon the book and the sunnah, in obedience to Allah, and then something miraculous occurs, then that can be a karama. But as for the devils, or those who listen to the devils and take information from the devils, and those who claim knowledge of the hidden and the unseen, the kuhan, the soothsayers, and the arrafin, the diviners, then any supernatural things that are seen from them are just workings of the devils. They are not karamas, they are not miracles, they are not signs that these are righteous people at all. We had the point that the soothsayers, the kuhan, and the kahin, the soothsayer, and the sahir, the magician or sorcerer, they get the devils, the shayateen, to work for them. How do they get them to work for them? To carry out these things for them? How do they get the devils to work for them in the first place? What they do, they get, they themselves, they submit to the jinn, they submit and comply to the jinn, obediently submitting and complying to the devils, agreeing with them upon shirk, upon actions of shirk, submitting to them, and then on that basis, the shayateen, they'll do certain actions for these magicians or these soothsayers. Because they're submitting to them, being obedient to them, and agreeing to shirk along with them. We also had something with regard to the ruling of sorcery. Sheikh al-Fawzan, he mentioned the source of sorcery, sihr, magic and sorcery. He mentioned the source of it and the ruling of it. Who can remember that? Who are the ones behind the working? It's already been mentioned, really. Who are the ones who are behind the working of sorcery? And what's the ruling on the sorcerer? That sorcery is from the actions of the shayateen, the devils, and the person who is a sorcerer is a kafir. That is kufr. Sorcery is kufr. I mean, sorcery using the devils, the shayateen, is kufr. We then had that Sheikh al-Fawzan, he mentioned there is another type of magic besides the first category, which is true and real sorcery, involving the use of devils, making spells that can actually affect and harm people, can affect them, can even bring about their death. This is the first type of sorcery. Who can remember the second type that the Sheikh mentioned? The second type of sihr, the second type of magic. Jazakallah khairan. That the first category is sihr haqiqi, true and real magic, sorcery. And as the brother said, and the second category is sihr takhayyuli, illusions and tricks of the eye. I mean, tricksters, they're doing tricks in front of the people's eye. They're doing something, what they're actually doing doesn't appear to the people. An illusion appears to the people. And the Sheikh gave a number of examples of that. For example, that they take a pile of paper, when they mess around with it, it seems to change into banknotes. And then they play around again, and it reverts to its normal case, and so on, and so on. Illusions. We had the point that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned something about a person who goes to a kahin, goes to a soothsayer, just goes to him, just merely going to him. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention about such a person, one who goes to a kahin?
The hadith of Muslim where whoever goes to one, his prayers are accepted for 40 days.
Yeah. That the one who goes to the soothsayer, the kahin, just going to him, then his prayer is not accepted for 40 days. His prayer is not accepted for 40 days. Then we had a further point. What about the person who goes to either a kahin, a soothsayer, or an araf, his diviner, and believes what he says, means listens to him and believes what he says? Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something about that type of person as well. Over on the horizon. He has disbelieved in what was sent down upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the first category of person, just the one who goes. And then prayer is not accepted for him for 40 days. And the second, even worse, that he goes and he believes what that person says, the soothsayer or the diviner. Then he has disbelieved in what was sent down upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We also had the point concerning tanjim and the person who does it, a munajjim. And who can remember what is tanjim or what a munajjim is? What do they get up to? That the Munajjim is an astrologer. And Tanjim, that which they do, Tanjim is astrology, as the Sheikh defined it. They claim the movements of the stars, and or different positions and movements of the stars, have an effect upon things upon the earth. I mean, events upon the earth are caused by the stars, or events of the stars. Sheikh al-Fawzan, towards the end of his explanation, he mentioned about a person who believes this, who believes that the stars cause events to happen upon the earth. One who actually believes that certain stars moving or setting or rising or being in a certain place, they can cause events to happen upon the earth. What did Sheikh al-Fawzan say about these people? With regard to the people who claim that stars cause events, stars and movements of the stars and planets cause things to happen upon the earth. He mentions, Sheikh al-Fawzan mentioned something with regard to the aqidah and iman of these people. Now, the Sheikh mentioned that this is something which destroys aqidah and nullifies the person's iman. If a person actually believes that, this destroys his aqidah, it destroys his creed and belief, and nullifies the person's iman. Then, finally, we had a point with regard to the actual purpose of the stars. What is the purpose that was mentioned of the stars? That, as Sheikh mentioned, and as occurs in the narration from the famous Tabi'i, Qatada ibn Di'ama, rahimahullah, that the stars are for three purposes: as an adornment for the sky, as missiles to pelt the devils with, those devils who seek to hear information from the heavens, as missiles to pelt them with, and thirdly, to guide the people upon the way. I mean, to guide the people in the darkness of the land and the sea. I mean, as signposts. Then just before we begin, then just a small clarification or a correction of a correction, that there was a correction was made of something that was said, then a correction of the correction. And with regard to the barrier of which Dhul-Qarnayn built, then, as is mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th surah of the Qur'an, the ayahs, Ayah 96, آتوني زبر الحديد حتى إذا ساوى بين الصدفين قال انفخوا حتى إذا جعله نارا قال آتوني أفرغ عليه قطرا. With the explanation that Dhul-Qarnayn said to those people who complained about Ya'juj and Ma'juj, that they're causing corruption upon the land, that he said to those people, with the explanation, give me blocks of iron, give me huge blocks of iron, until when he had filled the gap between the two mountain cliffs, he said, blow upon it, blow upon the fire, until he made the fire red hot. And then he said, give me, I will pour upon it qitran. And this word qitr is from the root word, meaning to something, a liquid which drops, drips and drops. So meaning here, a molten liquid. Then with regard to what that molten liquid was, then contrary to the correction, then the most correct saying is that this molten liquid was molten copper. And contrary to what occurs in the Sufi translation of the Quran, Yusuf Ali's Sufi translation, contrary to that, then the correct saying is that it meant molten copper. As was stated by Mujahid, with the authentic chain of narration mentioned by Al-Tabari, from Mujahid, the famous Tabi'i, that he said, Qitran and Nuhas means copper. Likewise, Qatada said from the Tabi'in, it means Nuhas, it means copper. And this was the tafsir given by Al-Tabari and Al-Baghawi, and Ibn Kathir mentioned it from a group of the Salaf. He mentioned from Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, and Mujahid, and Ikrima, and Al-Dhahaq, and Qatada, and As-Suddi. Likewise, Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di and Shaykh Ibrahimin, they mentioned it means nuhas, means copper. Likewise, Ash-Shawkani, he said, the people of the language, Ahlul Lugha, qala Ahlul Lugha al-Qitr, and nuhas al-Dha'ib. Ash-Shawkani said, the people of the language, the Arabic language, say, Qitr, it means molten copper. He said, and this was a saying of the majority of the people of Tafsir. And a small group said, Qitr means molten iron, a second saying. And another group said, from them, Ibn al-Ambari, it meant molten lead, which was the correction, that it should be lead. As for Ibn al-Jawzi, then he said, in his tafsir, Zad al-Masir, mentioning the difference, he said, with regard to Qitr, there are four sayings. One of them is that it is an-nuhas, it is copper. This was said by Ibn Abbas. As for Shaykh al-Albani, in his checking, or his Mukhtasar Sahih al-Bukhari, he mentions this saying is authentic from Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, that Qitr, it means copper. So Ibn al-Jawzi said, the first saying is that it means copper. This was said by Ibn Abbas, and Mujahid, and Qatada, and al-Farra, and as-Sajjaj, two of the great scholars of the language. The second saying is that it means molten iron. This was said by Abu Ubaidah. The third saying is as-Sufr, that it was molten brass, which was said by Muqatil. And the fourth saying is ar-Rasas, lead, which was quoted by Ibn al-Ambari. So he said, Ibn al-Ambari didn't himself quote it, didn't himself say it, he quoted it from somebody else who is not named. Wallahu a'lam. Then to continue with what occurs this week, then Imam At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he continued with point 212. وَنَرَى الْجَمَاعَةَ حَقًّا وَصَوَابًا وَالْفُرْقَةَ زَيْغًا وَعَذَابًا. And we hold that the jama'ah, and we hold that the united body upon the truth is what is true and correct, and that separation is deviation and punishment. And we hold that the united body upon the truth, al-jama'ah, is what is true and correct, and that separation, al-furqah, is deviation and punishment. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said, we, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, hold that al-ijtima', gathering and being united, is true, and al-furqah, splitting or separation, is punishment. So the ummah uniting upon the truth is rahmah. The ummah uniting together upon the truth is a mercy. And splitting and separation between it is punishment. This is from the very core of the aqidah. This is from the very core of the creed and the belief of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So it is obligatory to gather and be united, and to dispel, to push away separation, splitting or separation. He, the one free of all imperfections and the Most High, said, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 103. with the explanation and cling all of you together to the rope of Allah and do not split and separate. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the Hablullah, the rope of Allah, is the Qur'an and Islam. The rope of Allah mentioned in the ayah, which we are commanded to cling together to, all together, to cling to it. He said, the rope of Allah, Hablullah, is the Qur'an and Islam. And just as a side point, then the explanation of this ayah, that the Hablullah is the Qur'an, this was the explanation given by the companion Ibn Mas'ud. It's authentic from Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. They said, Hablullah, the rope of Allah, means the Qur'an. Likewise, Qatada from the Tabi'een. And it occurs in a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith of Zayd ibn Arqam, radiallahu anhu, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمْ مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِ لَن تَضِلُّوا بَعْدِي أَحَدُهُمَا أَعْظَمُ مِنَ الْآخَرِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ حَبْلٌ مَمْدُودٌ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ إِلَى آخِرُ الْحَدِيثِ. The hadith of Zayd ibn Arqam, radiallahu anhu, who said, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, I am leaving amongst you that which, if you adhere to it, you will not go astray after me. One of them is greater than the other. Kitabullah, the book of Allah, which is a rope stretched between the heavens and the earth. The hadith reported by Tirmidhi and declared sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani. And he mentioned the second, mean the people of his household, to the end of the hadith. And as for the explanation of the ayah to mean Islam, that the rope of Allah means Islam, then this was mentioned by Tabari with his chain of narration from Ibn Zayd, as the saying of Ibn Zayd. So Shaykh al-Fawzan, back to what Shaykh al-Fawzan said in the explanation, he said, so the rope of Allah is the Qur'an and Islam. And obviously there being no contradiction between those two sayings. Those two sayings, there's no contradiction between them. They're both in harmony with each other. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, after mentioning, so the rope of Allah is the Qur'an and Islam. And his saying, jami'an, all of you together, he said, meaning unite upon the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And his saying, وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, meaning, and do not split and separate. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, means still explain the ayah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so when Allah commanded uniting al-ijtima', he forbade al-furqa, he forbade splitting. He commanded ijtima', uniting, and he forbade al-furqa, splitting. And he informed that gathering and uniting is to be upon the rope of Allah. And that is the Qur'an. And it is not permissible to unite upon anything else from the madhabs and the partisan parties, the ahzab, hizbiyat, the partisan groups, the groups of hizbiyah. It's not permissible to unite upon anything else from the madhahib, positions of the people, and the partisan groups. Since this brings about furqa, this brings about splitting and separation. I mean, the claim, in other words, the claim of the people that we will unite upon this saying, or this particular little group, partisan group, and we'll be united upon that basis, that will only lead to furqa, separation and splitting. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, "Fal ijtima', so gathering and being united cannot come about except upon the book of Allah, just as he, the one free of all imperfection, said, وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, the same ayah, Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 103, with the explanation, and cling all of you together to the rope of Allah, and do not split and be divided. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so Allah, the one free of all imperfections, commanded uniting. And he commanded dispelling, splitting, pushing away, splitting, with regard to opinions and with regard to the hearts. He commanded that we push away, we dispel, splitting. Splitting in opinions and splitting with the between the hearts. He said, so the Muslims, no matter how far apart they are, how far bodily they are apart from each other, and no matter how distant their areas are from each other, yet they are united upon the truth. They should be united upon the truth. And their hearts united. Their hearts are united. And they should have love for each other. And as for the people of falsehood, Ahlul Batil, then even if they are in a single place, one of them by the side of the other, then they are such that their bodies are united, but their hearts are separate. It's the difference between the people of the truth and the people of falsehood. People of falsehood, even if they're together in one place, side by side, then their bodies are together, but their hearts are separate. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, he, the one free of all imperfections, said, تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. The ayah from Surah Al-Hashr, the 59th surah, ayah 14. With the explanation, you consider them to be together, but their hearts are separate. Surah Al-Hashr, 59th surah, ayah 14. The reference isn't given in the text here. He said, and he, the Most High, said, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 105, with the explanation, and do not be like those who split and differed after the clear signs had come to them. And for them, there will be a tremendous punishment. He said, and he, the perfect, said, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Surah Ar-Rum, the 30th surah, ayahs 31 to 32. With the explanation, and do not be from the people of shirk, from those who split and separated their religion and became sects, each group being pleased only with that which it was upon. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes a final ayah. He said, and he, the one free of all imperfection, said, أَنْ أَقِيمُ الدِّينَ وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ. Surah Ash-Shura, the 42nd surah, ayah 13. With the explanation that you establish the religion, meaning that you are commanded, that you establish the religion, acting upon what Allah legislated for you, and that you do not split and separate within it. So Shaykh al-Fawzan quoted all these ayahs with regard to the prohibition of splitting and forming sects. And then he said, so what is obligatory upon the Muslims is that they be a single nation, a single ummah, a single nation in its aqeedah, its creed and belief, and in its worship, its ibadah, and in its jama'ah, in its being a united body, gathered, and in its obedience to the one in authority over it. So that it is a single hand, and a single body, and a single structure, just as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam likened it. And this is a mercy for the Muslims, so that their blood is spared, and their hearts are in harmony, and their society is safe and secure. So when this is attained, then provisions will be abundant for them. And as for the case, if they fight and kill each other, and cut off from each other, and hate each other, then the enemies will overcome them, and they will shed each other's blood. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan makes an important point and says, and al-ikhtilaf, differing is of two categories, two types of differing. So differing, ikhtilaf, is of two categories. The first category is ikhtilaf, differing in aqeedah, differing in creed and belief. And this is not permissible ever, because it necessarily results in fighting and enmity and hatred and splitting apart. So therefore it is obligatory that the Muslims are upon a single aqeedah, a single creed and belief. And it is the creed and belief of La ilaha illallah, of none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. And to hold that as creed and belief in saying and action and belief. Then he makes a point and says, and aqeedah, creed and belief, is tawqifiyah. Creed, matters of creed and belief, this is something restricted to text. Tawqifiyah. In other words, as we had before, something that can't be affirmed except with the text. Or within it, you don't deny something except with the text. You halt in accordance with the text. So he said, al-aqeedah tawqifiyah. Creed and belief is restricted, is a matter restricted to text. It is not an area open to ijtihad, to personal deduction. So since that is the case, then there is no scope in it for splitting. So aqeedah, creed and belief is taken from the book and the sunnah, not from opinions and not from ijtihadat, not from ara, opinions, and not from ijtihadat, personal deductions. So separation with regard to aqeedah leads to infighting and hatred and cutting off, just as occurred with the Jahmiyya and the Mu'tazila and the Asha'ira, the Ash'aris, and the misguided sects, about whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed in his saying, ستفترق هذه الأمة على 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed of them by his saying, this ummah will split into 73 sects. All of them will be in the hellfire except for one. قالوا من هي يا رسول الله. The people said, which is it, O Messenger of Allah? قال من كان على مثل ما أنا عليه wa ashabi. He said, that which is upon the like of what I and my companions are upon. And as for this hadith, then it's reported in the books of the Sunan and with this particular wording it's reported by At-Tirmidhi that the Prophet with the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he described this the saved sect he said man kana ala mithli ma ana alayhi wa ashabi that which is upon the like of what I and my companions are upon this is reported by At-Tirmidhi and Al-Hakim from a hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma and declared Hassan, good, by Shaykh al-Albani. And as for the wording that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that it is the jama'ah, then that's reported by Abu Dawud and Ibn Majah and the others as occurs in the footnote on the, that they've given here, with that wording, al-jama'ah. As for this wording that Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes here, that which is upon the like of what I and my companions are upon, then that's reported by Tirmidhi and al-Hakim. Declared Hassan good by Shaykh al-Albani. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Hafidhullah, so nothing will unite the people except the like of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions were upon. So he's made clear that the differing, which is not permissible ever, differing in aqidah, creed and belief. Then he mentions the second category of differing. He said, the second category is اختلاف, differing, في الاجتهاد الفقهي, differing in matters, or differing in اجتهاد, in matters of fiqh, then this does not necessitate enmity. Differing in matters of fiqh, which are based upon اجتهاد. So this does not necessitate enmity. Since its reason is examination of the evidences in accordance with the faculties of the people, in the different levels of understanding of the people that will result in differing in this matter. And the people vary in that regard. They are not all upon one level. So they vary in their strength of extraction and in their greater or lesser amounts of knowledge. In other words, this matter, differing in not in matters of aqidah, but rather in matters of fiqh, when it's based upon correct ijtihad, or when it's based upon ijtihad, permissible ijtihad, then that does not necessitate, as the Shaykh said, does not necessitate enmity. And it will vary in accordance with the varying level of the people, their varying strength, and their varying level in knowledge. So the Shaykh said, so this khilaf, this disagreement, this differing, as long as it is not accompanied by ta'assub lil-ra'i, as long as it is not accompanied by fanatically clinging to a certain opinion, then it will not lead to enmity. I mean, differing in these matters, whether based upon ijtihad, matters of fiqh, based upon ijtihad, with this condition, as long as a person doesn't just fanatically cling to one opinion, have ta'assub to it, then, as long as that's not present, it will not lead to enmity, shouldn't lead to enmity. He said, and the sahaba, the companions, disagreed in some matters of fiqh. They disagreed about matters of fiqh. And it did not bring about enmity between them. And they were still ikhwa, they were still brothers. And likewise the Salaf al-Salih, the pious predecessors, and the four imams, they differed. But enmity did not come about between them. And they were still ikhwa, they were still brothers. And likewise their followers. But if someone has ta'assub, someone fanatically clings to an opinion, then this will necessitate enmity. So therefore it is obligatory upon the Muslim that he should take and accept those sayings which conform to the evidence from the book or the sunnah. Then he gives the proof for that. He said, he, the one free of all imperfections, said, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 59, with the explanation, so if you disagree about anything, then refer it back to Allah and to the Messenger, if you truly believe in Allah and in the last day. He said, and he, the one free of all imperfection, said, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ Surah Ash-Shura, the 42nd surah, ayah 10, with the explanation. So, with the explanation, and whatever you disagree about, then its judgment is for Allah. Its ruling is to be referred back to Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so when there is disagreement, then referral is to be back to the book and the sunnah. And that which is shown to be more correct by evidence is what is to be taken. That's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends explanation of this point. And with regard to the next point that Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah brings, point 213, وَدِينُ اللَّهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاءِ وَاحِدٌ وَهُوَ دِينُ الْإِسْلَامِ And the religion of Allah upon the earth and in the heavens is one. And it is the religion of Islam. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and Islam, al-Islam, is the worship of Allah alone and not ascribing any partner to him. I mean, a quick summary of what Islam is, what the root of it, Islam, what Islam is. What is the religion of Islam? He said, the worship of Allah alone and not ascribing any partner to him. So this is practiced as the religion by the angels in the heavens and by mankind and jinn upon the earth. And it is the religion of Islam. And its meaning with its general and overall understanding is. And then he gives the excellent definition of what the religion of Islam is. Obviously, contrary to what we hear, that the people who have no understanding and no knowledge, they say Islam means peace. The religion of Islam, it just means peace. They don't seem to have a clue. So the Sheikh here, he gives the excellent definition of what the religion, the word Islam, what it is. He said, هو الاستسلام لله بالتوحيد والانقياد له بالطاعة والخلوص من الشرك. He said, it, meaning Islam. What does it mean? What is it? He said, it is submission to Allah with tawheed and yielding to Him with obedience and freeing oneself from shirk. This is what the religion of Islam, what the definition of the religion of Islam is. It is this: submission to Allah with tawheed and yielding to Him with obedience and freeing oneself from shirk. Al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed wal-inqiyadu lahu bit-ta'ah wal-khulusu min ash-shirk. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, just as it was defined by Shaykh al-Islam, I mean Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned this definition of Islam. And it was quoted from him by Shaykh Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab in Al-Thalathatul Usul, in the three principles. So this is the correct definition of what the religion of Islam means. The correct definition of Al-Islam. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so Islam is the religion of all of the prophets and their followers. So every prophet called his people to that. And everyone who followed him upon that, I mean everyone who followed each prophet upon that, is considered a Muslim, whether he be from the first ones of the creation or the last ones, then he is one who submits to Allah with Tawheed and yields to Allah with obedience. So the religion of the prophets is one. And their shara'i', the sharia of each one, the revealed laws and details of the religion of each of them were separate. I mean, the actual religion of each prophet was one and the same, Islam, with this definition. And as for the actual laws of each prophet, the revealed laws, system of laws given to each prophet, then they were separate and different because of the varying needs of mankind in each time and place. So as occurs in the hadith, Al-Anbiya'u ikhwatu Al-Anbiya'u ikhwatun li'allat ummahatuhum shatta wa dinuhum wahid. The saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the prophets were paternal brothers. I mean, they were brothers with the same lineage through their fathers. The prophets were paternal brothers. Their mothers were different, and their religion is one. The hadith reported by Al-Bukhari is hadith 3443, and by Muslim, and it's from a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, He the Most High said, لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth surah, ayah 48, with the explanation, For each people from amongst you, we have made a revealed law and a clear way to follow. And just as a side point again, in tafsir of this ayah, Al-Tabari mentions with his authentic chain from Qatada, from the Tabi'een, that he said about this ayah, the religion, the deen, is one. Whereas the sharia of each one, the revealed laws of each one, of each prophet, were different. The religion of every prophet, the religion of everyone, was one and the same. Whereas the revealed laws differed. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, So Allah legislates for every prophet whatever is befitting for his people and whatever is fitting for their welfare. And then Allah, Ya Rahmakallah, and then Allah abrogates it, abrogates that revealed law or some of it, Allah abrogates it for another nation in accordance with their welfare. So whoever was upon the religion of a prophet before it was abrogated, then he is a Muslim. So the worship of Allah is done upon the legislation of that prophet. I mean, for each prophet came, then the people in his time, they worshipped Allah in accordance with the legislation, with that legislation that was given to that prophet. However, after the sending of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the religion became one and Allah abrogated whatever was before it. And the religion, the deen, which is counted, is his alayhi salatu wa sallam deen, his religion only. So it is not permissible for anyone to remain upon a religion from the previous religions. Since his messengership and his religion, alayhi salatu wassalam, is universal for all of the creation and covers every time and every generation. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? prayer. When, on the first type of different. With regard to the hadith about the splitting of the ummah. Hey, with regard to the hadith, with regard to the splitting of the ummah that Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, he mentioned the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, سَتَفْتَرِقُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ عَلَى ثَلَاثٍ وَسَبْعِينَ فِرْقَةٍ كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدَةٍ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, this ummah, this nation, will split into 73 sects. All of them will be in the fire except one. So the people said, Man hiya ya Rasulullah? Which is it, O Messenger of Allah? So he said, Man kana ala mithli ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. Those who are upon the like of what I am upon and my companions. Reported by Tirmidhi and Al-Hakim and declared authentic, declared Hassan good by Shaykh al-Albani from a hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr. And as for the other wording reported by Abu Dawood in his Sunan and others from the Sunan, he said, Hi al-Jama'a, it is the Jama'a. Then the people of knowledge point out that these, obviously it's the one and the same sect, of course, and both of these things mean the same thing. They both refer to the same thing, the same group, and they are both carry the same meaning. What is the Jama'a? The Jama'a, the true Jama'a, the united body, which is upon the truth, is that those who are upon that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions were upon. So this, in other words, this wording here explains what is meant by al-Jama'a. The Jama'a, those who are united upon that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions were upon. I mean, depending on the circumstances. But as for what was mentioned in the hadith of Jibreel, that when Jibreel said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Tell me what is Islam," then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded that you bear witness that none has a right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, and that you establish the prayer, and that you give the zakat, and that you fast the month of Ramadan, and that you perform Hajj to the house, if you are able, then those are the pillars of Islam. The five essential pillars of Islam, meaning the five essential duties upon every Muslim. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. I mean, practically, what Islam is and what the five pillars are, that is it. But as for a definition of what Islam itself is, then, as the Sheikh said, Islam, the religion of Islam, is... What does it mean? Then, as the Sheikh said, what is Islam lillah? To the end of the definition. If somebody says, what does Islam involve? What do I have to do if I become Muslim? Then, those five pillars. They are the five essential pillars of Islam. But as for what is Islam? As somebody says, for example, somebody stands up and says Islam, as they very often do, Islam means, it means peace. It means salam, it means peace. Then this is not a definition of Islam. Islam may necessitates peace, but it's not a definition of what the religion is. Rather, and a person who's just a peaceful person doesn't make him a Muslim. Rather, the definition of what Islam is, as the Sheikh quoted, "Wal istislamu lillahi bit tawheed, wal inqiyadu lahu bit ta'a, wal khulusu min ash-shirk." It's to submit to Allah with tawheed, and to yield to Him with obedience, and to free oneself from shirk. That person is upon tawheed, obedient to Allah, and freeing himself from shirk. That is the person upon Islam. With regard to the like of this question, I'll read it, so somebody doesn't think their questions are getting ignored or something. Then, what about kids' toys that provide illusions? For example, a box that makes a coin placed inside appear to shrink. Are these toys haram? Allahu alam. Ask the people of knowledge. Allahu alam. The like of this and optical illusions and so on. Allahu alam. Ask the people of knowledge. The only reason the Yusuf Ali translation of the meaning of the Quran was mentioned here was because it seems that the so-called correction of something that was said last week, the only English reference I could see for that was this Sufi translation of the Quran, this Yusuf Ali translation. And this is a translation that is not recommended whatsoever, and it's, alhamdulillah, it used to be very widespread, and alhamdulillah, now it's disappearing. It seems it's still seems to be on its last legs, not quite disappeared. That this is a Sufi translation. It contains severe errors in aqidah. It contains matters of Sufism. It contains all sorts of errors. It's not a good translation of the meanings whatsoever. No. It contains twisting of Allah's attributes, twisting of the reality of paradise and the fire, twisting things that these are not realities, these are just spiritual matters, spiritual stages and so on. It contains all that sort of nonsense in there. So if you... Something for a far better translation of the meanings, of course, is the Noble Quran. It's kind of put together by a person of the Sunnah. Referring back to the correct and classical tafsirs, the tafsir of Tabari and Ibn Kathir and so on. Then the Noble Quran. If you want a better translation of the meanings of the Quran, then refer to the Noble Quran, which is, alhamdulillah, these days very widespread. Obviously, when somebody when somebody refers to an ayah of the Quran, we don't want to know what so-and-so's opinion of this the ayah is, or some Sufi's, what his mystical interpretation is. We are not interested in the like of that. We want to know what is a correct understanding of this ayah. You'll only get that by, of course, referring, if you refer back to the Arabic, then referring back to the correct and classical tafsirs, tafsir of Tabari, tafsir of Al-Baghawi, tafsir of Ibn Kathir, and so on, which quote the reports from the authentic reports from the companions, from the tabi'een, from the scholars of this ummah. And then, if someone can only refer to a translation that refers, that takes from that, and you'll find that is the case with the Noble Quran. It takes from those classical tafsirs, contrary to the like of that Yusuf Ali translation, which doesn't. It takes from all sorts of funny sources, Sufi sources, and Zamakhshari, and Baydawi, and all sorts of Mu'tazili sources. Allah musta'an.
Can you just repeat the sentence after Surah Ma'idah, you know, when you mentioned verse 48, 0.213, and then you mentioned the tafsir of Tabari, where he says the deen is one and Sharia is different.
Yeah.
And then the sentence began, Allah legislates for his prophet.
With regard, just a repetition of a phrase, after the ayah from Surah Al-Ma'idah, then Shaykh Fawzan said, with regard to the ayah, لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْ هَاجَ, Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah 48, with the explanation, for each people, from amongst you, we have made a revealed law and a clear way to follow. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, so Allah legislates for every prophet whatever is fitting for his people. And what befits their welfare. And then Allah abrogates it for another nation in accordance with their welfare. So whoever was upon the religion of a prophet before it was abrogated, a revealed law, whoever was upon a revealed law of a prophet before it was abrogated, then he is a Muslim. So the worship of Allah is done upon what was legislated for that prophet. Oh yeah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. أستغفر الله وأتوب إليك.